Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out another episode. Today's features Barnum Jack. Had a great time hanging with these guys, talking about their debut album and everything they've been up to. Talk about some of the history of this group and what's coming up for them this summer. You're going to hear their debut single, Gone, 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 along with some others from the record to give you a little preview before you can get a hold of it. And follow along with them on your socials for more info. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Friendship Brewing Company in Wentzville, Missouri. Serving up all your craft beer needs. Over 25 rotating taps out there. All kinds of tasty beverages, delicious food. You got your burgers, nachos, flatbread, pizzas, and all kinds of tasty eats. Doing fish fry Fridays every Friday throughout Lent. So come out for your fish and get some live music on. Well, they kick off the weekend on Thursdays with Singo Bingo. This Thursday, March 7th, is Party Starters. And Friday, March 8th, Jeff Waltshauser returns. And Saturday, March 9th, Fireside from 7 to 10. And out there at the Fly High location in Flint Hill, Missouri, you can get the same great beer, all new dining experience out of the Fly High kitchen. And you can get live music Friday, March 8th from James Bertle. And Saturday, March 9th, Steve Kyle. Get plugged in with them on Facebook and Instagram for more. FriendshipBrewingCompany.com for your full concert calendar, beer menu, food menu, and much more. And if you are in the Hannibal, Missouri area, great news. Friendship Brewing Company just launched their third location out there. So come swing by and grab some Friendship Brewing Company beers and some Sidekick barbecue and have a great time. Again, friendshipbrewingcompany.com. If you need anything else from me, hit me up on the socials. Email me rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com and everything else rockpaperpodcast.com. Would love to hear from you all. And with that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode. Well, Barnum Jack.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We are Barnum Jack.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Barnum Jack. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, Shane.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, this is very cool. At least with three-fifths of the
three
band.
Missing
a few, but this will be fun. I'm excited to sit down. I know this is kind of been a while in the making. I know Barnum Jack's been around for a little while now.
5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I remember the first time we played was it was in like 2018 in your dad's basement.
That's true.
Dad's basement.
Yeah, yeah. We had Sean Camry with us and Bryn Jones.
Yeah.
And, I was straggling. There was water running down from the edge into the drain. I was straggling the water.
Yeah.
Trying to play.
No, it was great.
It was fun.
That was the first Barnum Jack, at least. But we've been playing together for longer than that.
Definitely like Pops. Yeah, probably like a year before that, at least, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Well, that's kind of what's been fun for me about doing this show is like, I feel like I've kind of like got to watch you guys grow up through the show and stuff. So it's really cool to see, the various projects we've been a part of over the years and different things we've done. But it's just fun for me. Like I said, having all this documented and preserved on the podcast and everything. Let's go back. I guess before we get rolling too far, you guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everybody listening so they know your voices.
My name is Sam Albishan, and I play the mandolin.
My name is Sam Avery, and I play the guitar and sing the songs.
My name is Chad White, and I play banjo and sing vocals.
Yeah.
And who are we missing today?
Oh, yeah.
We normally have...
go ahead.
We have Jackson Ramsey on fiddle and Will Miskell on bass as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
all vocalists too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to say I
missed
sing.
It,
I sing
he does indeed sing and he does indeed sing on this album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about the album is everybody sings on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So take me back to the kind of the origin of this project. And you were saying that you guys kind of started on a jam at Pops or
Pops Blue Moon used to have like an open the Keep It Grassy Jam as they called it, but it was an open bluegrass jam basically where you could come bring your instrument and everybody plays bluegrass. And for me personally, after going there for a while, you know, you gravitate to kind of your own tribe and the people you look like. And
you guys were
younger and had, you know, patchy facial hair and I fit right in. And so I started talking to Sam and we hit it off talking about fish and the Grateful Dead and music. And I was talking to Chad and Chad had just such a deep appreciation for bluegrass. And both these guys, really, I was like, man, I want to play music with these guys. I want to, you know, be around them and cultivate their energy. And eventually, we just started talking. We were like, why don't we put something together? And through everybody else that we met at the jams, we got together in my dad's basement and made some bluegrass happen. And 6 years later, here we are putting out an album.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the record we recorded... with last fall and be ready for everybody coming up this spring here. Mm-hmm. And you guys gave me a little sneak peek of it and I really enjoyed it. I listened to it again on my drive over and had a lot of fun with it.
Thank you. But
obviously, you know, like I said, I've known you guys in a couple of various aspects, but where does like your real love of bluegrass start for you guys? Was that were you all pretty young when finding the love for that or...
I was going to say for me, I was pretty young when I first found bluegrass. Like I first grew up, the first thing that got me interested in music at all was like the Beatles and like classic rock, I guess. And then a friend of my mom's exposed me to bluegrass and it was the first time I ever heard it. And I was immediately very gripped by it. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why. I think it was just cool to see people like shredding acoustic instruments. Uh-huh.
They call it the bluegrass bug.
Yeah, right. But I caught it and I've been very into bluegrass music ever since then. And I'd say it's probably around maybe like 13, 14, around that time.
I was definitely a little later. I was probably 17 or 18. And mine came from the Grateful Dead. Jerry Garcia played in a group called Olden in the Way with Peter Rowan and a bunch of other bluegrass legends. And hearing that music, I was like, wow, this is just so almost raw. And like, there's so much, you know, you can tell that the guys playing it are passionate about it. And for me, coming from a background of the White Stripes, the Flat Duo Jets, and like bands where it was very much, you know, in the moment and like, again, cultivating that energy, like on stage, bluegrass was one of those things, especially watching it at the Pops jams, just seeing how everybody could just go up there, you know, as long as they had an instrument and play all these songs that we all knew without even talking about them. Mm-hmm. But we all seemed to gravitate towards the same songs and the same artists like Flat and Scruggs, Bill Monroe, Larry Sparks, and just how much of it was for like the everyman, almost really, oh, yeah. really appealed to me.
Well, for me, it was my grandma. She enjoyed bluegrass. And when I was growing up, she would take us to Merrimack Music Theater in Stillville. And we'd go and see like Ricky Skaggs and Ralph Stanley. And I never really thought much about playing, you know, bluegrass. I played piano for years. I played guitar. And then one day I just was listening to it and just kept hearing the banjo and decided that I'd try playing it. So yeah. That's kind of what got me into it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's one thing I feel like, I don't know, maybe more rare, I guess. A lot of guys pick up guitar and stuff, but like to really find a somebody young that really wants to hone in on a banjo and stuff. Like,
yeah, a lot of times it's, you know, a lot of more prominent banjo players are grow up around it. You know, their dad plays or their uncle plays. So, and my dad and uncle never really played. So I was just, all right, well, I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, man, carve your own path.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up around it a little bit. My dad would play like in some jam type of situations. I don't think he ever really fully had a band that he was a part of, but he would like sit in on some, and he played a little bit of harmonica, and he would occasionally sit in with some friends that played, and nice. And I knew it was like some more bluegrassy type stuff. And sometimes I do have a memory of, like, we went to somewhere, some kind of like whatever it was, maybe some kind of festival or some kind of thing, when there was like a bunch of different little jams going on and of some sort in this room. But anyway, I remember, like, it's not really full on bluegrass, but I remember I have a distinct memories of Ozark Mountain Daredevils, like Chicken Train. Mm-hmm, yeah. And playing, we would like have that on, and we would like play along with it, like me and my brothers were singing it, and it just felt like we had like that sort of family band dynamic a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
Even though it was
that's a whole other thing with the bluegrass thing.
Right.
So many of these, you know, great bands who really laid the blueprint were just these family bands.
Right.
Yeah.
Who just all knew how to play music together and did it so well.
Yeah. I was gonna say, to go off that, like, the family band thing is huge, and that's really cool about bluegrass, but also just like the jam aspect of it, you know, you have songs.
Yeah, you
that
still
are standards.
Have that family.
Yeah,
feel.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yep. Yeah. It's easy to just come together with somebody who you've never.
If somebody can't
before.
Make a gig,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
but
you
share
call,
the bluegrass bond.
You can call somebody else,
and you have the standard yep. song, so it makes it easy to play with other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I've never, you know, never really played. That was like the extent of my like I'd sing some songs sure. with the dad, but like.
Everybody plays their part,
right? But as far as like getting like that kind of stuff, like as a fan, man, it really like blows my mind that like kind of like the unspoken thing where you guys can all feed off each other and like know that you already know these songs or mm-hmm. or how these you know, the be able to quickly pick it up on how it goes and stuff. And like, so it's just, for me, it's pretty fascinating watching like people that a group of musicians that have never played together make it seem like they've been doing this together forever. Totally. Like, you know, it's yeah, like yeah.
make it look easy too.
Right. Yeah.
I compared a lot in that way, kind of to the, like the jazz scene, because mm-hmm. jazz has standards and, you know, everybody's a kick-ass player, and like, you can sit there and watch it and be like, oh my gosh, this is mind blowing. Like, surely there was some prep put into this, but you go to a lot of these jazz jams and it's the same site, like sort of thing mm-hmm. where people just walk up there and they're like, oh, Donnelly, let's do it.
Yeah.
Where bluegrass is that same way, where you can kind of sit there and watch and just be like, oh my gosh, this is insane.
Right.
But you talk to the guys and they're like, yeah, I didn't really know what was going on. Or, you know, yeah. Especially yeah. at these jams and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I've heard that song a couple times, but it's like, oh my gosh, you just shred that.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It blows my mind every time, but it's fun. And, but yeah, so you guys jammed for a while. How long does it take to officially put a name on it, like that this is we're a group and stuff?
Wasn't very long.
I was gonna say, we were definitely doing gigs as Barnum Jack back then.
Yeah, there was some deliberation early on the name. The very first name that we put into the ether was the Smith Brothers, but that was short-lived, as none of us are last named Smith.
I don't recall that.
Very I kind short-lived. Of recall that, I think, actually.
But one day I was just listening to some Stanley Brothers, and this song came on called The Girl Behind the Bar, and I was listening to it, and, you know, there's one thing for bluegrass, there's a whole lot of murder ballads.
Right.
And this was one of those songs, and the murderer in the song, as it were, was a fella named Barnum Jack. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh man, that's a great name. Like, it's kind of catchy, you know, the whole Barnum thing. I mean, people know P.T. Barnum, of course, but so there's already some word association where it'll stick in people's heads. And I brought it to the rest of the gang, and they were like, yeah, it's a good name.
Yeah. I like the name a lot.
Yeah. I think in a, you know, in a weird way, you know, maybe not in the murder sort of way, but I think it does fit us. I think, you know, when people think of Barnum Jack, you know, I want people to think of, you know, just who we are and just
right.
Some dudes what being was, dudes.
What was the name of that first place we played at down?
Oh, The Haunt.
No. Oh, yeah.
No.
Was it A Haunt? Or
I thought
was
that
it?
Was the first place.
I remember the first
Graboid
place.
Yeah. By Cybergs.
Yeah.
I think it was The Haunt.
No. That was later. That was later. Yeah. So our very first gig was at a place called The Haunt. And
it's kind of a Halloween theme.
It was very haunted.
A Halloween themed bar. And, you know, bluegrass fit the course for that night.
Yeah, for that night. Maybe not every other night they've had there.
And, but it was good. You know, it was our first show. So we were, you know, pulling out all sorts of stuff.
You played Johnny B. Good.
I was going to say, I remember doing Johnny B. Good.
Yeah.
I feel like we did Maybelline too.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things, you know, that was kind of the world that I was coming from. And I was like, these are the songs that I know. And these are the songs that I love. And later found out that there were actual bluegrass covers of those songs. But yeah, so The Haunt was first. And then I think...
I remember River City Pub.
River City Pub was the place. And that was on Graveway. And I did like an open mic there for a while. And one time Chad came up and we did a whole bunch of songs
together. We kind of just turned it into a... bluegrass jam,
yeah,
essentially.
But
you came up there too.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember us playing up that. I remember playing up there once with you, by ourselves. And I also remember Barnum Jack playing up there.
But and man, these guys—they were the nicest people ever. Just a neighborhood bar. Because
they even still do music there.
I don't know if they do. But I remember being like, oh, you know, I'd love to get my band in here, and they were all, oh yeah, we'd love to have your band here. And so we show up for the gig, and they got huge banners. Like all on the front of the building, all on their back patio, Barnum Jack,
the whole thing,
at the River City Pub, and we're like, "All right, yeah, that's pretty cool.
We made it."
Yeah, I still got the banner and everything. It was big.
Yeah,
the first time our name was on a side of a building.
Nice, very cool.
And what was after that?
I don't know. We played at the Ready Room. I remember seeing a lot of farmers markets, and private parties,
the
and stuff. Playing out in Waterloo.
Which I will still do, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some of the best.
Yeah.
Most enjoyable gigs.
Yeah.
For sure. That's another thing with bluegrass. I feel like so many farmers markets and,
sure.
you know, pumpkin patches.
I mean, the cider is just great.
Yeah. But the fall is really like...
We've definitely played some fall festivals.
Yeah. Everybody loves bluegrass in the fall.
Nice. Yeah, man. Well, let's give them a little sneak peek of what you all have been up to. This is, like I said, we got a... official the debut album ready to be released here shortly, but we have lead single due out on February 22nd to all your streaming platforms, and this is a song called Gone.
Standing here looking for you, searching far inside my mind, just to still be here with you, though it seems you've said goodbye. Well, now you're gone, and I'm wandering along the same meadows we used to ride. I'm blue, I wait here for you, wishing you were still by my side, and wishing that you never said goodbye. How can I ask more than I've given, when I know what it is worth? You keep me hidden deep inside this hollow earth, and now you're gone.
gone, gone, and I'm wandering along the same meadows we used to ride. I'm blue, blue, blue while I wait here for you, wishing you were still by my side, and wishing that you never said goodbye. Rough travel, I will answer for my shame. And though you know none of my struggle, here I stand all the same. And now you're gone, 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 and I'm wandering along the same meadows we used to ride. I'm blue, blue, blue while I wait here for you, wishing you were still by my side, and wishing that you never said goodbye.
But what do you guys like to tell me about this particular one?
Sure. So
written by Sam Avery here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a song. It's, again, you're holding on to those close-knit bluegrass traditions of gone, gone, gone. Guy's talking about his spouse or whoever it may be of the feminine variety. And she's left him. And he's looking back on his life. And he's like, man, I really miss her. She's gone, gone, gone. And he's thinking about all the things they used to do together. And yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you guys are writing these, like, Sam, do you like sure. think of like, you have like these lyrics? Do you guys all contribute to your own parts in, or do you kind of have a vision of where you feel like the song is going to go? Or
I feel like a lot of times I'll kind of lay like a blueprint,
yeah,
and then bring it to the guys. And you know, especially with Sam, I'll talk about the lyrics, like, does that sound all right, you know, phonetically or stuff like that. And then when it comes to like the chord progressions and the actual hitting, you know, that's a full band kind of thing of like, oh, what if we do this here, this there. And I think that shows a lot on the album, not to deviate from the single, but on the album, there was a lot of moments in the studio where we were like, oh, well, let's all drop out here, or mm-hmm. let's just have the banjo and the fiddle here. And so, yeah, it's definitely a multi-conglomerate kind of
right.
thing. Everybody's getting in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody gets it's definitely, as you listen to the whole record, everybody's getting solos in different parts to shine. And like I said, everybody's singing too. So there's different multiple lead vocals on it, which is keeps it fresh. You know, everything's totally. Every song's a little different than the next. So, but yeah, so you guys went to Sawhorse Studios in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep.
And,
Jason McIntyre.
Yeah, man. One of the best, Jason's,
he was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his work, and then get to know him a little bit better as a friend. Like he's a great guy and a great hang and a really talented producer. So
yeah, an engineer. I was going to say, that's one of the things I like about him. Like he like obviously had never heard our music before, but working with him, it like felt very comfortable for him to like even suggest stuff that we could do on definitely. The album and different ideas for harmonies and things like that, which it's really cool.
Yeah.
What do you feel, is there one that really changed up with Jason's input or at all, or are they
there was one song where we all switched instruments.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say which song.
All right.
And, so be listening for that.
Yeah.
And that was something that Jason was like, yeah, let's give it a try.
Yes. There's a, that's one of my favorites, I don't think they do it on the albums or anything, but, the Andy Frasco, seeing him mm-hmm. live, and like, there's like a, usually in his live shows, like they'll all just like,
oh yeah, he does that thing.
They all just rotate and like, except for, the saxophone player. I don't think he switches, yeah, but everybody else trades instruments, and so it's pretty entertaining to see, like, you know, Andy go to the drum kit and then or play guitar and all this, you know, whatever. So it's just but I mean, they're all, like, you know, proficient, I guess, at their, sure, their various instruments, but they're the ones that they're, you know, they really shine on. But anyway, it's just, but it's entertaining for sure to, as a live show element, to, like, everybody just
introduce
swap. Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. So
yeah.
So maybe it's something to think about for
the live show. I think we've done that at a gig before.
Have we done it at a gig?
Well, me and Avishan will switch every now and then. He'll play the guitar and I'll play the mandolin. Or
I'm trying to think if Farnham's ever tried. We should try it at a gig.
Maybe we should try it live.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Will could play banjo. I know he could.
Oh, he'd shred the banjo.
But get involved with Barnum Jack on your Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube for more info. And again, that single Gone, Gone, Gone due out on February 22nd. And we're going to continue to, like, slowly leak a couple more along the way until we get But we do have an opportunity to come see you all live, and talking about some of those kind of festival type of settings and stuff and things. But this is kind of along the that. But you guys are playing a Fish Fry on March 8th.
Yep.
And this will be some of my favorites. I love a good Fish Fry, and fact that you're bringing in some live music. Again, man, can't go wrong there. It's going to be a fun Friday night for sure.
Yeah, we figured the Fish Fry would kind of match our vibe as a band, you know. And it's at St. Anne Catholic Church. I think we're playing from 5 to 7, something like that.
Yeah, 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, 5:30 to 7:30 maybe, sometime around there. And it'll be the first place you can purchase copies of the album.
Yeah, unless you see us walking down the street.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be the first place copies of the album are available before they're released online. So, yeah, should be fun.
Nice, yeah. What's your guys' favorite fish fry item? Do you think about?
I'll be honest. This will be my first fish fry.
Really?
I've never been to a fish fry.
Yeah.
I always like that they have spaghetti.
Yeah.
I
mean, I've not been to this fish fry, but I hope they have hush puppies.
Oh yeah, sure, man.
They might have hush puppies.
That's a staple for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I do find it interesting that, like, of all the things, like, spaghetti's made it into the buffet line.
Yeah, you got, like, spaghetti or, like, a grilled cheese or, like, fish and, like, a salad.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, some fish and hush puppies at the – and can't go wrong with that, man. But there's a nice St. Patrick's Catholic Church by my house out in Wentzville, and like, and they always do a big old fish fry during Lent and everything. So, nice. We try to make it there at least once. If we can make it more, it'd be great. But at least once to experience it. But
totally,
yeah,
they're always good community events here.
Yeah. But yeah, that's we don't really, like, they don't have any live music there, so, like, thinking about that, that's like,
well, you'll have to come with this
for
an album
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say off. I know this fish fry, this is, like, where I went to church, like, growing up, and I know, like, the lady who organizes all the music there got a hold of us through Jackson, our fiddle player, because her son is, like, one of his best friends, so that's how we got connected with this gig.
It's amazing for us. I feel like so many of the gigs that we've had and so many of the memorable gigs that we've had have almost fallen into our laps.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like we're not really seeking it out. But
yeah, we met a wonderful woman who had a place over kind of by the Loop, and at the risk of overindulging in her personal life, her home was huge. And I mean, this place was giant. And so she had us do like a little fall festival there. And she ended up bringing us back for like some parent
next
week.
Yeah, she was like, "You guys got to come back here next week."
And like, it's just amazing, like, you know, seeing like giant houses like that, areas that you don't normally see.
Yeah, just stuff you wouldn't
expect. The nicest people.
And the nicest people. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like something like that just fell into our laps. And then we ended up playing at the Ready Room, which I know we kind of mentioned earlier. And that was the same sort of thing. It was just
a random Facebook message.
This guy was like, "Hey, does Barnum Jack want to play at the Ready Room?" And, you know, we played him and we laid them right out of business. And,
so that was a big,
it wasn't long
a big,
after.
That was a big room. Yeah.
And it was a whole kind of Americana night. Mm-hmm. But definitely one of our first like big shows.
Yeah, that was like one of my most memorable ones.
Yeah,
early on for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did, now with this record coming out and something, I know you guys have other things you're part of also, but would you like to see Barnum Jack get on the road and try to spread the word around, get some more eyes?
I mean, I would love to. I mean, that's kind of like the thing with putting out the album is I feel like it might give us some more opportunities, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just interested to see where it goes after we put it out, see how people like receive it. And
no expectations, but definitely
I'd be interested in playing more shows for sure.
We could definitely do a good, you know, a good run.
Yeah,
totally.
You know, I don't see why not.
Yeah, it'd be fun, I think, especially just, you know, loading up the van and hitting the road with the buds and spreading the word around. But I just didn't know if that was something, you know, that working along with the promotion for this record and stuff, if that was something you guys thought about much yet. But
yeah, definitely right now, at least in my opinion, like cultivating that kind of, again, cultivating that like internet presence almost. And this is just what you got to do.
Right.
And getting that, you know, experience online and seeing like what works and engaging the fans online. And that's a big thing with having physical copies of the album out now, but then kind of trickling out single releases on Spotify is all just how does the algorithm work? You know, how can we get this album on top of the bluegrass charts? And every album, you know, coming after it. And again, just kind of cultivating the whole internet presence and then moving that forward into the branching out to different areas, you know, giving something that people can listen to or giving the people something that they can listen to and know who we are first before, you know, going out and playing at a show where, you know, six people show up and we love those six people, but I like 600.
Yeah. It does seem like, there is maybe not full on bluegrass, but definitely just, Americana, in general, like, has made a real big resurgence, lately. Yeah.
We love Billy Strings.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at like, Billy's a rock star out there, you know, but I mean, you see Zach Bryan's doing arenas and, you know, like, of course, Sturgill's still on top when he plays and stuff. Yeah. And like, and all these guys, like, there's a lot of like really great stuff happening and like, and especially like, seeing young people involved that, you know, got, you know, especially, you know, your people your age and everything too. Like, you know, you guys aren't the only ones in this movement. There's a lot of people that want around your age that are coming out to these shows, which is, like I said, it's great to see. And like, that we are getting, this kind of, like I said, resurgence and people interested in this music again. Like, so I think there's a lot of opportunity for that, for something like this to really catch on. And, you know, it's like,
I think too, one thing that, in particular makes us different is, so there's the traditional bluegrass and then there's kind of like the new grass, the, you know, progressive bluegrass. And, of course we love the progressive bluegrass, but being like a more traditionally based bluegrass band, I almost think now helps set us apart from other groups because there is so much progressive bluegrass going on that people are going to be like, hey man, let's get something, you know, like the classics.
Right.
And that's where we come in and we're that kind of classic bluegrass sound that was the origin of everything.
Awesome. I was going to say, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, I think the album has a lot of like traditional sounds on it, but the songwriting and some of the songs are a little bit more progressive and different from what you'd hear like Bill Monroe play or
for sure.
I mean, I don't know, like Flat and Scruggs was, I mean, they were trying all different types of stuff. Yeah, so
crazy.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I enjoy most about the whole album is the original aspect of it.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And it's Barnum Jack sound. It's not, I mean, you can take and pick stuff from other.
Yeah.
But yeah,
totally.
End of the day.
That's what I think. That's what I think it's all about, you know, is whether it's five people or six people or whatever, you know, it's just, it's going to sound different every time. No matter who you got in the band. And, so when I think of, you know, getting the five of us together, I feel like the five of us, not to toot our own horn too much, but the five of us are really good at what we do.
All right.
And that is one thing that I think I'm so excited about the album and getting that out to people is people seeing that and being like, oh my gosh, like this has been going on and I haven't experienced this to the fullest effect yet. I got to hear more of this.
I was going to say, I think we've got like 3 videos on YouTube.
Yeah. That's like granted, it just started the channel, but putting the 5 of us in a position where more people can hear us and, you know, being able again, from a personal point of view, being able to, you know, get Sam and Chad and Will and Jackson and Blake and Chad's wife, Mo, who sings on the album, or Morgan, in a position to strut your stuff is something that I take, you know, a great amount of pride in.
Yeah.
Being like, everybody look at these people because they're great at what they do. And it's time to recognize.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, it was fun to learn that you said, Morgan wrote and, performs on the album, which, I was trying to, when I was listening, I was like trying to place the vocal. Like I was like, you know, I was trying to figure out
who is that. Yeah. I didn't picture his bus.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I was
Well, I'll make it short, but the funny thing is, they mentioned earlier playing at Pop's Blue Moon a lot. Morgan and I actually met one night at a jam there. But long story short, you know, her songwriting, was a surprise because I didn't know about it at first. And so I, you know, automatically picked up the guitar, and for the last, you know, 4.5, 5 years, coming on 5 years, we've just been playing around with writing songs and very music. Cool. So this is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
With more to come.
Yeah, it was nice that this one that you guys felt belonged on the album, and it's great. It fits right in. It's a great tune, and I'm excited to hear some more from her and see what else she's got coming up. So
that'll be coming out on the song in question here.
Pennies.
Yeah.
And that'll be coming out March 14th.
Right.
On streaming platforms everywhere. And not to go on a whole nother sidebar about this, but another kind of moment where, you know, so many times me, Sam, and Chad have gotten together in this very living room and sat and played, you know, who knows how many bluegrass songs in a night, just hanging out or writing or, you know, whatever. And and then Mo came in one day and was like, I got a song.
You guys watched all that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember she played that song and we were immediately
Sam
like,
were just, you know, flabbergasted. We're like,
that needs to be recorded somehow, some way. Yeah,
and it was, you know, immediately I was like, man, this would be awesome on the album. Again, just have that, like you were saying, kind of a change in pace with the vocals. And again, it speaks to that.
And it was
a down home vibe where it's just, you know, that was a call on my part just to have Mo and Chad sing on that song. Because that's the first time that me and Sam heard it. And
it was a great experience in the studio too. I'll cherish those memories forever.
Yeah. Is she, is that the only featured artist, on this record?
I was going to say Blake Cordy, who plays with, Riverbend and Silver Creek Bluegrass. And he plays with a bunch of people around here. He plays Dobro on how many songs is it? 2, 3?
I think it's 3.
Three songs.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah,
he adds that sweet feel that some songs just yearn
for. That
bluesy
feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, we've been teasing at it, but you will be able, if you like, say maybe if you come to the Fish Fry, you can grab a copy physically there. But streaming wise, this record will be available digitally everywhere in April 3rd.
April 3rd. Yep.
So keep an eye out for that. And then but we do have another one we wanted to leak out there, give you a little sneak peek again before you can get it all. But this is a song called "I Seem to Forget to Remember You're Gone."
Yeah.
And
you got it all.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I seem to forget to remember you're gone. I'm walking through clover that used to grow green and listening for birds whose songs we did sing. Now just a memory all shrouded in gray. I think back to good times we had yesterday.
could she be? Afloat on a river approaching the sea. While I lay in wonder, waiting for dawn, I seem to forget to remember you're gone. Have all fallen from our favorite tree, where we'd spend the hours enjoying the breeze. I look for the spot where we carved our names. Now mine may be gone, but yours still remains. Oh where could she be? Float on a river approaching the sea. While I lay in wonder, waiting for dawn, I seem to forget to remember you're gone. In the sea, while I lay in wonder, waiting for dawn, I seem to forget to remember you're gone.
This one actually features Blake. Not to cut you off, yeah. Sorry. Okay. But yeah, one thing I like doing is wordy titles, because I think they're funny.
Right.
And I like, you know, somebody sitting and have to go, I seem to forget to remember you're going.
All right.
So that was just a line that I came up with, and yeah, I kind of just steamrolled from there, you know?
Yeah. This, I mean, there's a little bit of a theme that seems,
yeah,
to start the record there.
Gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some gone. Some, I seem to forget to remember you're gone.
Yeah. Some heartbreak songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like we mentioned, there's a, you know, of course, we teased that earlier too, the murder ballad on there and stuff. Oh, yeah, so yeah, like, yeah. You know, that's another kind of heartbreak, not spoiler alert, but, you know, like.
Do you have any happy songs, Sam? Right.
Oh, yes. They'll be on the next album.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It always sticks with me. I saw Aaron Lewis live at the pageant a couple of years back. And funny enough is he did a cover of Bob Seger's Turn the Page.
Okay, yeah.
And I recorded it on my phone and I put it up on YouTube. And then like later on, I'm like, one day I'm like scrolling through Facebook and then I see Bob Seger shares this video. And I was like, oh my hey, gosh. That's my video. And like, and then like, so like that video... What? One of my YouTube videos has like, you know, a couple hundred million views or whatever. Or not 100 million, 100,000.
That's crazy.
Views.
Still,
and I was like, of all the live videos of him singing a song, but why? Wow. It was funny that he picked mine. But I, but anyway, I thought of it because like Aaron says something along the lines, you know, obviously all those Stain songs are a lot of like really heavy, depressive songs, and he goes. But it's some of his newer music's kind of leaning into the country thing. And he goes, and he was introducing a newer song. And he's like, well, I messed up and I wrote a happy song. And I go, here it is. And it's like, so I just thought that was really funny to me. That the idea that this was a mistake, that an error that happened, that he wrote a happy song now.
That's a cool thing about bluegrass. Some of the happy songs which they sound happy, are actually sad. If you don't listen to the vocals, you're like, man, that's
pretty
bad. Like, I feel like a lot of the happy songs are really slow.
Yeah, the happy ones are all slow, and then they've got the like the upbeat, like major sounding songs will be like the most depressing lyrics you've heard.
Right. So you guys do the cover, you said it was Stanley Brothers song, which features the namesake. We borrowed that line. And this was a fun take on that. I don't know if that I really heard the original, but
it's not a like super well known song.
I was gonna say I'd never even heard that song until Avery.
I got a knack for doing that. Finding the super obscure stuff.
But I really enjoyed the story in it. I'm a sucker for those type of storytelling songs like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like one of those you kind of get invested in. And you're like, man, what's going on here? But like, you know, this story.
Yeah, every album needs a song like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to buy the record to find out what happens, I guess. But
no spoilers.
Yeah. So, it was, man, this, like I said, there was a lot of variety, even though it all kind of, under the bluegrass umbrella and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was fun, like I said, having a bunch of different players on it and vocals and, even featuring Morgan, like we talked about. So. This was a really great debut album.
Thank you. Really impressive to hear.
Thank you.
But we do have we have one more we wanted to leak out too, and like just give everybody a nice little sample of some of this variety. And another one we have ready to go for you called Old Home Place.
Ah, the Old Home Place.
Yeah. Old Home Place.
A good bluegrass standard.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Bluegrass.
It's a Missouri bluegrass song.
Dillard's.
Yeah, it's by the Dillards, which is a great Missouri band.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Jane actually wrote the tune. He was the bass player for the Dillards.
Yeah,
and
Mitch Jane.
This is a story I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but whenever they went out to Hollywood to record for the Andy Griffith Show, they were known as the Darlings. And Mitch Jane at that time, I'm not sure, somebody may... correct me.
We're not telling tales outside of school.
He apparently learned how to play bass laying down in the back of a station wagon on the way to Hollywood.
All right.
So talk about some good old boys.
Yeah.
From Salem.
This is another good one, though, I think, because it features the recording debut of one Sam Albashan.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever sang on record before.
Yeah.
It was great.
We ended up doing this song because... Avery's grandparents really wanted us to put it on the record.
My grandma's favorite bluegrass song.
And we were like, you know what? It's a classic bluegrass song. It's from Missouri. We might as well do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it turned out really good.
Yeah. I related because like, I don't know. I enjoy lyrics a lot. And so as I'm listening, like they're you're singing and talking about this kind of small town thing that, you know, and they changed it up, tore some thing, tore the town. I don't know. I feel like that a lot about my hometown. Like it's not necessarily tore down. It's the opposite. It's
definitely
like,
different.
Yeah. It's definitely different. And it's not the, like when I think about the way I grew up and, you know, it's just like, every day I'm like reminded, like, it's totally different.
Yeah.
You know, and this is just like, so that's where I kind of went to with this song. It's like, it's not the same old home place for me anymore. It's like,
but, especially my family's kind of from Wright City,
right?
And like Warrenton.
Yeah. I'm in Wentzville, and it's like all that area is just crazy.
It's just blowing up like nobody's business.
Why did you leave your plow in the field to look for a job in the town?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Almost got to.
But yeah, that's, so I don't know. It's definitely connected to that in that sense, like connecting my own story here in my own hometown.
It's been 10 long years since I left my home in the hollow where I was born, where the cool fall nights make the wood smoke rise, and the fox hunter blows his horn. I fell in love with a girl from the town. I thought that she would be true. I ran away to Charlottesville and worked in a sawmill or two. What have they done to the old home place? Why did they tear it down? And why did I leave my plow in the field and look for a job in the town?
But I think those are always a good, you know, if you're going through like checklist of what an album needs to have, you know, I think a hometown song is.
Especially when you're dealing with genres like this.
Yeah.
You kind of got the bullet points.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, great tune again. And this one will be, like I said, available soon. And you're going to be able to hear a lot more from this record in the coming weeks and months and stuff. But
totally.
Again, come out and enjoy the fish fry and grab a copy of the album while you're there. At
feel free to also, we will be setting up a store soon. And if you'd like an album, you can message the page, message our Instagram, and
we'll get one to you.
We'll get one to you. Yeah.
Let's talk about. Is there a particular reason for the picture we chose for the album cover?
Sure. Yeah. So like we were talking about with Old Home Place, my grandparents. Big into bluegrass country music. So many of my old country music albums came from them, of like George Jones, Marty Robbins, Johnny Horton, guys like that. Chad just raised his arm and said, "Hallelujah, brother." So they were a huge influence on me when it came to music, and especially when it came to this music, and they've always loved Barnum Jack. And we used to have this farm in Coal Camp, Missouri, which is kind of right outside Sedalia. And they sold it probably 14 or so years ago, maybe longer. But me and my mom and brother made a trip out there and just to take a look at it. Well, we went to Kansas City, but we stopped there. And I had my camera with me and I rolled down the car window and just took a few pictures for my own personal, you know, memories and looking back at the farm. And when I was looking at the pictures for the album, because all the artwork... That's another thing. Well, we can get to that. But when I was looking for pictures for the artwork, I was like, you know, this picture really kind of, again, encapsulates, you know, the vibe that I was kind of looking for. And because it's just an open road and it's a blue sky. And again, the personal attachment that I have to it, When I showed it to my grandparents, they cried. And that's always, you know, kind of a good feeling. Yeah. And it's like, I did you good.
Yeah.
That was.
And it's just self-titled, right? And just
yeah, just self-titled, yeah. Barnum Jack. And getting back to the cover and everything, one thing I also really appreciate about this album in particular is that how almost grassroots it was, in the sense that, you know, I designed the album art, I designed the back cover, Sam designed the little portrait on the back, or the collage of all of us together. And we kind of crowdfunded the album, getting into the studio. And so, again, not to use grassroots when talking about bluegrass, but it was very much, you know, a personable and community album, I feel like. Again,
oh, yeah.
Getting everybody together and putting something that we all feel super confident about.
All right. I do find, like, you know, that's... with especially like in the era now with as a independent musician and stuff, it's essentially a small business. You all, yeah, somebody's got to take the role of social media and the website and the, you know,
all the stuff you don't think about,
the merch, the, you know, it's like, so, you know, yeah. It's nice to have a couple of people like in the group that have, you know, stronger in totally. Those certain, you know, aspects. And then you all take up your own role, like, mm-hmm. you know, and, so it's, but yeah,
it's a great learning process too. Cause a lot of this too is stuff. I mean, Sam's killing it with the social media for One Way Traffic and Barnum Jack. And, you know, that's something you have to learn,
right?
Really. And like all this Photoshop stuff and
yeah, I was going to say recording, like, doing Photoshop,
like it's almost difficult. Now it's like, you just got to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't rely on outsourcing it to somebody else.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if you want to do it, you know, the right way. I feel like
that's why I just play the banjo.
And that's why Chad plays the banjo.
Right. Yeah. That,
no, Chad, you're great. I love you, Chad.
Yeah, man. That when you said you mentioned your grandparents, they also helped contribute the video camera to.
They did, yeah. One of my gimmicks that I'm kind of pulling with is a lot of our footage. I want to be on, you know, the old '90s VCR, just because I love the look of it. It looks retro. It kind of fits the whole kind of traditional bluegrass vibe of the band. All right,
this is not an Instagram filter. This is
a real deal.
Straight up.
Yeah. But yeah. It's just funny little details like that are right. Things that I love.
Well, yeah, there's a nice video you guys put together about from the studio and stuff, mm-hmm. working with Jason. So check that out on YouTube, click subscribe, and hopefully a lot more content coming soon. But
totally.
But yeah, so hopefully we'll be a big summer for Barnum Jack. Get out there and spread the word and sell some copies. And I appreciate that you guys did a physical release for this, because I enjoy collecting and having all those. I mean, you know, some people, I've heard stories, people getting rid of all their, you know, old CDs and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know.
I'm holding on to mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even play them anymore, but I'm still holding on to them.
Nice to have.
Hey, someday
when the internet, media in general, you know, it's like.
Someday when the internet crashes, you know, we'll be
exactly.
King. We'll
yeah,
be
king. Yeah, right? If Spotify's down for a day, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
Just gonna sit there twiddle your thumbs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool thing about like the physical albums too, is you can actually like read the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
like,
album art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's album art. Mm-hmm. You can look at it as much more of a complete piece, I feel like.
I'm still waiting for my record.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Vinyl is coming.
Pressed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shoot fact. Vinyl is coming. We're going to raise some funds here selling the CDs, and then eventually get the big boys.
There you go.
Because, I mean, I'm telling you, folks.
Who doesn't want it, you know?
You listen to this, you're going to want this on vinyl.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, man. That'd be, count me in. Mm-hmm. Where's my pre-order link? but yeah, no, I'm a huge advocate for vinyl. I'm always trying to buy up my friend's vinyl around town. And mm-hmm. it's cool to see that it's, you know, more tangible. Like, you know, it's like actual mm-hmm. something that we, you know, when... I think growing up, all of it, you know, the musicians were probably like thinking like, man, it'd be cool someday that I can get my, you know, song on an album, vinyl. And it's like, and then now it's like really people, like I said, a lot of my friends are doing it, and it's really cool to see. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But just leaving a trace, you know, beyond just like a digital trace, I think is a huge thing. And, just being able to have something physically that you were a part of. And that you can share in a vacuum like that, or not a vacuum, but like a situation like that, is, I think, you know, it's great.
Yeah. What, so, I mean, obviously we've knocked out a bunch of, things so far with the going down the list of, you know, we recorded the album. We got us produced, mastered, released. We've got, all these things going, but what, do you still have, something, a goal set for yourselves, for the rest of this year? I mean, as far as, like I said, I know we kind of touched on possibly touring or doing some weekends and things, but is there something else you guys think of that to do?
I was going to say, I mean, just trying to get more shows, you know, for us, would be like a bigger accomplishment. I feel like it would be cool to get on like a festival or something like
I think I've heard my buddy talk about it, but like, you know, when you do, even when getting on a festival and like, you know, your name's like in the real little print, and then like the next year you try to get up a little, bigger font, you know, but that's like, you know, it's definitely a goal, like is to keep working your way up to the ladder.
Line by line.
There's tons of good Missouri festivals and Midwest festivals at that.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see us playing on some Midwest stuff in the near future.
Yeah. Definitely a big thing for me too, is just as much music as we can put out as possible. Like,
and I think
I don't feel it too far-fetched to say that we'll probably be back in the studio. I don't know.
I'd like to say
the spring or the summer.
Yeah.
We got stuff that we're all ready to record
new songs, you know, just bump it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Is there like, as far as your live sets, are they, are you incorporating, some of those standards, covers and stuff like that? So
we do take requests.
Yeah.
Chad takes requests.
I was going to say, we play a lot of like, Flat and Scruggs is probably the one classics. Of our biggest.
Bill Monroe,
yeah, Del McCurry, Larry Sparks, Larry, you know, it's kind of just really whatever we've been listening to that week.
Yeah. Yeah. We do a lot of fiddle tunes also, like instrumentals and yeah,
we definitely try to pick like some stuff that, again, kind of like where the name comes from, Girl Behind the Bar, some like unpopular bluegrass songs that people are like, oh, whoa, this is a really cool song. It's like, again, to have that shared reaction of like when Sam found it or when Chad found it or when I found it, we're just like, whoa, this is a really cool song. Where has this been?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times I just try to get these guys to play some of the songs that they wrote because they're you know, they're good songs.
Sure. Yep. Is dueling banjos or something, is that like the equivalent like of the Freebird to
I would say
might be one of
in
them.
A way yeah. I think anything like that, or you go ahead, Chad.
Yeah. What's that movie, Oh Brother Where Art Thou? Yeah. A lot of people will come up and say, hey, can you play Oh Brother Where Art Thou?
Yeah,
I think a lot of times with stuff like that, it's easy to, you know, kind of sit there and be like, oh, you know, scoff or whatever. Or when people talk about, you know, artists like Billy Strings or, you know, these guys who are pushing the genre forward, the stuff that got us there is just as important. So when you have stuff like Dueling Banjos or, you know, the Oh Brother Where Art Thou, like that's the stuff that in a lot of ways is probably making people come to the shows.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And while we don't always play those songs, you know, we'll bust out a Foggy Mountain Breakdown like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, we definitely play Foggy Mountain Breakdown. That's probably one of the bigger bluegrass songs of all time.
Totally. Right. But stuff like that is, you know, it's so important to getting the general audience.
Yeah, I agree. I think like, you know, I think there's a lot to be just educating people on it, you know, like coming out, you know, hey, like, if you like this, like, hey, we've got plenty more of this, you know, if like we can play all kinds of other songs besides, the one you saw in the movie or whatever, you know? But yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot to, I think if as long as they're interested in it, like, you know, at least they get that hook, from the one thing, like maybe we'll, you know, keep, hitting them with all kinds of other tunes and make them fans.
One good song deserves another.
Right. Yeah. I just think like it's, you know, you think about some of the bar band stuff, like obviously there's a reason why those are like, the memes, that they are and for stuff, sure. You know, like some of those songs, people do request a lot of the same things, every weekend, but
yeah.
So, and I would think like there's something about just like, you know, even just seeing the banjo, like your mind's going to go right there. It's like,
yep, totally. So, yep.
He's actually wearing shoes.
Yeah. It's like,
that's a huge thing for me is, you know, whether it be music or any sort of pop culture, really, it's just preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. And because, I mean, we do it all the time. You know, we go to something and we have an idea of what it's going to be like. And I think bluegrass is totally one of those things where if you hear that, you're like, okay.
Right.
Dueling Banjos.
It goes a lot back to what you said earlier about the resurgence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's going in a good direction and people mm-hmm. are actually realizing, wow, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
When people see like young guys like us, you know, five strapping young boys playing bluegrass, it's like, right. Oh, whoa, okay. This is kind of hip. It's kind of cool.
We are surrounded by a lot of gear, a lot of real nice guitars and
appreciate that
and things. Do you guys have a you know, maybe a dream instrument? Is there a certain banjo or mandolin or guitar or anything that you guys
I'll
think
say
about?
This banjo sitting here is, I mean, it's an original 1954 Gibson bow tie, and it's not, you know, a pre-war banjo, which is most sought after, but those are also, you know, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. And that's what's that, but, is that because of the wood that was used or something? What's the, why is it?
Well, before World War II, all these parts that they were using to build banjos, I mean, they were good banjos. They're old, it's old wood. And so after the war, they didn't produce any more, or during the war, they didn't produce any more parts. So right. All the parts that were left, that was it. So a lot of collectors and a lot of musicians are, you know, kind of sought after the old banjos. Mm-hmm. So, but the one, like I said, the one I have is, it does me well and I'm blessed to have it. If the opportunity came where I was able to upgrade, I probably would, but I haven't sold any banjos that I bought, right. So I would probably just acquire another one, which I don't know how that would go, but.
All right. You want to go? Or?
Sure. I feel pretty content.
Yeah.
I play a Martin guitar. You know, my idols played Martin guitars, you know, all Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Peter, Paul and Mary, all those people played Martins. I'm pretty happy when it comes to that. I did. The only other instrument that I'd ever wanted was a nice Stratocaster. And just by the happenstance of Facebook Marketplace, a guy put one on there the other day and I traded one of my guitars for it, for the Strat. And I got nice. A pedal too. And I could finally look at my collection and be like, well, I'm satisfied.
Oh, yeah.
Don't need anything else.
Nice. I was going to say, I mean, I love this, my Collings mandolin that I always play. A lot of times for me though, I feel like with a mandolin, like I got to go to a store and then I'll pick one up and I'll be like, I really want to get this one day. I mean, and there's like so many mandolins out there that are like 50 to 100 grand. It's like, I don't know if that's ever, like,
that's crazy.
Ever going to be in the picture for me. But, I did play this Ellis mandolin I really liked recently, just an Ellis F model. And, yeah, I'd like to get one day.
Yeah. Yeah, I just always picture like that scene in Wayne's World when you're like, totally. Someday she'll be mine. Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, that's the thing, man. There's all kinds of expensive toys out there when it comes to gear and stuff. But yeah.
Well, it's the thing about bluegrass. A lot of times we don't plug in. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have, I don't know if sometimes you use a pedal. Do you? You ever use a pedal?
Not with Barnum, no. Maybe with Lowe's.
So we don't have a whole lot of gear.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a plus.
Right. It's more on us.
Yeah.
Can't hide behind effects or anything.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've always loved about it too. Like, you know, just especially like, you know, being acoustic, I'll do a lot of like live acoustic stuff on the show with songwriters and stuff. And I'm like, you know, just raw, you know, it's like there's no effects. There's just guitar and vocals and, or whatever, you know, so whatever it is. So, but yeah, do you guys ever do any, sets like that? Like a single mic, bluegrass picking?
Yeah. That's pretty much all we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Round one can.
Yeah. I'd say it depends on the venue, but most of the time we definitely try to do one mic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or two of them.
We're all kind of proficient at the whole jumping around game.
Sure.
You know, make room for them cause they're coming in hot, you know, stuff like that.
But I think that's always a lot of fun. Totally. You know,
it's a whole other, you know, it's like I said, when you're on stage and you're in that moment, it's just raw. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, he's coming in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be on your toes at all times.
Definitely. Well, very cool. I'm excited to see some more Barnum Jack. I actually haven't been able to see a live show yet, so that's definitely my goal. And maybe March 8th at Fish Fry will be a great excuse to come out and have a good time and enjoy some tasty food along the way. And
definitely be on the lookout. We're definitely
keep your eyes on the page.
We're on some venues around town.
Hit up the socials. You got a new Instagram page, Facebook, and YouTube for all your video content. And hopefully this will be a big summer for Barnum Jack and this brand new record. So
thanks. I think it will be.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you guys taking some time to hang with me, and let's do it again soon, man. Sounds like you guys are already gearing up for record number 2.
Yep. Always, you know, moving.
So
always up.
Well, I'm excited to hear what's next.
There she is, Morgan White, singer of Pennies.
There she is.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shane.
Bye, everyone.
Appreciate you.
See ya.